we're about to discover that the good news reaches far deeper into our lives than we might even think possible. This good news gives us a vision of how we are to live our lives day by day by day. This gospel of the kingdom of God not only gives us the assurance of salvation through Jesus Christ and the promise of eternal life, but it also gives God's radical plan to change lives here and now. It's the Father's way of growing us into mature followers of Jesus Christ. You know, over the years, many of us have only understood a small part of the gospel. You know, the promise of salvation in Jesus and the assurance of living with God forever. To be sure, these things are definitely part of the gospel. But our generous, our loving Heavenly Father has done far more than we have imagined. And that's the purpose of this series that we're going to be going through. And if you are here today because maybe you're just exploring the claims of Jesus, or because you are curious as to what following Jesus is really all about, well, then I want to welcome you to the Bridge today. You've picked a great day to be here because you're going to hear that the good news of God's kingdom is available to you today, right now. In this first week, I would really like to talk to you about how Jesus understood and how Jesus preached the gospel. This week, we're going to examine biblical texts from all four of the gospels to discover the depth of the good news that he proclaimed. Next week, we're going to discover how the gospel presents the very real possibility of life change for us right here, right now, before we die and before we go to heaven. Then in week three, we're going to look at how the gospel of the kingdom of God was originally revealed in the Old Testament. And then finally, in week four, we will learn that the gospel presents a grand picture for having a wonderful future. And I believe that by the end of these 4 weeks, perhaps we can see that the gospel is way more practical and more life-changing than we ever thought it could be. So let's get started, shall we? The first four books of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, tell us about the life and the teachings of Jesus. Each gospel also refers to the death and resurrection of Jesus. Now, we call these books gospels because they contain the good news about Jesus. That's what the word gospel means, you know, good news. But what exactly is the good news? It's communicated in the phrase, "The kingdom of God is near." The gospel, the good news of the gospel is communicated in the phrase, "The kingdom of God is near." John the Baptist preached this message in Matthew chapter 3. And Jesus began his ministry with this message as well. Mark 1, 14 and 15 says, so the very first chapter of Mark, he says, after John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." In fact, this is one way that Jesus characterized his mission in Luke chapter 4, verse 43. He says this, "But he said, I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns also, because that is why I was sent." So here we see early in each of these gospels that the good news is the proclamation that God's kingdom has come to heal people, or has come near people. I'm sorry. It's come near to people. Other translations use phrases like "the kingdom of God is at hand," or "the kingdom of God is breaking in," depending on which translation you're reading. See, Jesus was announcing that the Father's reign was coming closer. It was previously far away, and now it is coming near. So, let's try to understand what the kingdom is all about. When we take the lordship of Jesus Christ seriously, God's will is done God's way among God's people. You might hear that a few times throughout this series. God's will is done God's way among God's people. Early in his ministry, Jesus preached in the Sermon on the Mount, and we find this great sermon in Matthew's Gospel, chapters 5, 6, and 7. It's a message targeted at his disciples, at his followers. Notice how prominently Jesus mentions God's kingdom. He talks about the kingdom 8 times in his sermon. 8 times in his sermon. And we're going to look at 2 central examples from the Sermon on the Mount. As part of the Lord's Prayer, Jesus taught us to pray, Matthew 6:10. He said, "Let your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So Jesus instructed his disciples to pray for the coming of God's kingdom. And then he explained what it would be like. God's will being done God's way on earth as it is in heaven, okay? And this is so important. Jesus is telling us that God's kingdom is not a physical kingdom. It doesn't have political bounds or boundaries or borders. It's not found in one single location, but it is found wherever God's will is done, God's way among God's people, on earth as it is in heaven. Let's try to imagine how God's will is being done in heaven. Do you think that in heaven people lie to one another? Do you think they try to hurt one another? Do you think that in heaven people are afraid about their future? No. Why? Because God rules in heaven. There's peace and there is harmony between people, and there is no fear or anxiety about who is in control, because we know that God is. And part of the good news from Jesus is that it is possible to live here on earth in peace and harmony, free from fear and anxiety. It is possible. And everyone who suffers fear and anxiety said, amen. There's 3 of you said amen. That is so good. Everybody who suffers fear and anxiety said what?
Amen.
That's better. In fact, Jesus is instructing his disciples to pray that this will become a reality. The reality of God's kingdom should first be demonstrated among God's people, don't you think? That's why Jesus instructs us, his disciples, to pray for this very thing in our lives. This is so very important, folks. You see, some people think that this part of the Lord's Prayer is just simply praying for world peace. And the rest of the Lord's Prayer is about our everyday lives. You know, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil, you know. Of course, we should pray for world peace. It's a good thing, okay? But Jesus is instructing his believers to pray that God's kingdom would become an everyday reality in their everyday lives. There you go. Now, let's look at another mention of God's kingdom in the Sermon on the Mount. Now, remember, the Lord mentions God's kingdom 8 times in the sermon, but we are only examining the 2 mentions that come right in the middle of the sermon. In Matthew 6:33, Jesus tells us that we should not worry about what we will eat or drink, nor should we worry about what we will wear, but that we should seek first God's kingdom and his righteousness, and everything else will take care of itself. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you as well. By looking at these 2 verses together, we can see that Jesus instructs us to pray fervently for God's kingdom to become a reality in our lives, and that God's kingdom should be our highest priority. Now, perhaps you thought that Jesus only taught and only preaches about forgiveness and about the need to be born again. And he certainly does talk about these things. They are very important. But I want you to understand that this new birth is the entryway into God's kingdom. The new birth is the entryway into God's kingdom. Okay, you ready for a few statistics here? All right. I love statistics. I love facts. Jesus talks about God's kingdom far more than he talks about salvation. In the four Gospels, Jesus uses the word salvation or saved 23 times. Yet Jesus mentions God's kingdom nearly 120 times. Now, this does not mean that being born again is unimportant, okay? In John chapter 3, Jesus tells Nicodemus that we cannot enter the kingdom of God unless we be born again. So the new birth in Christ is our entryway into God's kingdom. Remember, his kingdom has no borders, it has no boundaries, it's not political, it's not social. It's about God's will being done God's way among God's people. Are you getting that message today? Are you getting that theme today? God's will being done God's way among God's people. You see, the result of all of that is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit, Romans 14, 17. His kingdom brings the peace and order of heaven into our everyday lives. And who doesn't want peace? Who doesn't want peace? At least in this room, who doesn't want peace? We can think of people around the world that probably don't want peace. But boy, I tell you what. But the way to peace, the way to real peace is new birth in Jesus Christ. That's the starting point. That's the entryway right there. And the reason why the good news is better than you first thought it was is that the new birth opens the possibility of living in God's kingdom here and now, as well as after we die and go to heaven. Many of us think that the gospel is only about going to heaven when you die, you know, and we are promised eternal life in Jesus Christ. But the gospel is also about learning a new way to live, God's way. And the result of living in God's kingdom is that a little bit of heaven begins to break into our everyday lives here and now. That's why Jesus began his ministry by saying, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's close at hand. It's near. It's come nigh." He wasn't trying to say that God's kingdom was going to take over the world once and for all. He was trying to say that God's kingdom finds its home in the heart of God's people. See, if we only receive him through the new birth and learn to live as subjects of Jesus the King, that's kind of the idea. We receive him through new birth. We learn to live as subjects of Jesus the King. That's why being born from above is so important. See, it's the starting point, like we just said. We cannot live fully as subjects of King Jesus apart from his grace and his mercy, apart from his Spirit living in us. We cannot do it. Still, many people have limited the gospel to mean only going to heaven after you die. See, the gospel is so much bigger than that. It's so much bigger. The gospel presents the good news that we can live lives heavenly lives here and now. Not that we will be perfect, okay? But that heaven is being worked into us little by little, day by day, as we follow Jesus. How many want a little bit of heaven living in you every day? Oh, my goodness. Living kingdom lives requires that we be born again, yes. No matter how hard we try, our own efforts will never fully reflect the goodness and the mercy of God, of heaven. But the same grace that saves us can also transform us, or at least begin to transform us as we walk with Jesus. This is the good news. Do you think that our Heavenly Father will force us to wait until we have died in order to receive the benefits of becoming God's children? No, not at all. First of all, His grace gives us the assurance of life in heaven. You know, I had a friend I worked with one time, and he turned to me and he said, John, are you afraid to die? I go, no, not at all. He goes, why? I said, because I know where I'm going. Amen. So I have the assurance of heaven. So I'm not afraid to die. I don't really want to yet. I really think there's more stuff to do. But I really can't wait to see Jesus. That'd be awesome. But it gives us the assurance that life in heaven is a grace that grows in us, and the life of heaven gets worked into us each day. And now that we have discovered how important the kingdom of God is to the good news that Jesus preached, let's take a moment for just a second or two, or a moment or two, and let's clear up a few misconceptions about the kingdom of God. Okay? You want that? First of all, the kingdom of God is more than heaven. The kingdom of God is more than heaven. We should not confuse the kingdom of God with heaven. God's kingdom includes heaven, of course. But God's kingdom is so much larger than that. Remember, can you say it? The kingdom of God is anywhere that God's will is done God's way among God's people. The kingdom of God is where the king has dominion. That's where that word comes from. Kingdom. The king has dominion. It's a combination of two words, king and dominion. So it's true that God rules in heaven, but he also rules in the hearts of his people. This is an important distinction, because if we think the kingdom of God means only heaven, then we will think that everything that Jesus said, how the gospel of the kingdom is for some future time after we die, that's the attitude or the thoughts that we'll have. But Jesus said that God's kingdom is breaking into the here and now. Or at least he's beginning to. So the kingdom of God is far more than heaven. And the second thing, misconception, is this. The kingdom of God is not the same thing as the church. And everybody said?
Amen.
It's true that the Bible describes the church as the bride of Christ. Yeah. And the church has a very special place in God's heart. And I'm not talking about the building here. I'm talking about the people who have received him. That is the church. But sadly, there are many churches where God's will is not done God's way. And you know what? That's okay. You know why? Because churches are filled with imperfect people. Churches are filled with imperfect people. And the church is where imperfect people come together to worship God. But God's kingdom is so much bigger than the church, so the kingdom is more than the church. Perhaps the best way to understand the kingdom of God is the passage given to us by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 14, verse 17. Romans 14, 17, it says this: the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Wherever people relate rightly to God, wherever there is the peace of God, and wherever there is joy in our salvation, in the joy of our salvation, that is where the kingdom of God is. Now, this means that we can discover the kingdom of God in some very surprising places. One great Old Testament example comes from the book of Daniel. You know, Daniel was a servant of God who lived in exile, lived in Babylon, far away from Jerusalem, and yet Daniel's life was characterized by what? righteousness, peace, and joy. Daniel's life and ministry was an outpost of God's kingdom. Now, this should give us hope that we can be ambassadors of God's great kingdom, no matter where we are. See, if Daniel lived in harmony with God in a strange and foreign land, then we can do the same at our work, at our school, or wherever God has planted us. It can happen, and it needs to happen, because you find God's kingdom in unusual places. For example, how about a prison Bible study, where convicted criminals who have surrendered their lives to Jesus live in prison doing God's will, God's way, day by day? Or you can discover God's kingdom among a playgroup of young mothers and their children. I think every Tuesday, my daughter-in-law takes the kids and they have what they call a play date, and it's a bunch of moms bringing their kids and they play together and the moms fellowship together. That's awesome. That's the kingdom of God right there. While the children play, godly women support and encourage one another as they live out right relationships, while they live out peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. It can also be found in offices and workplaces everywhere. You will find the presence of the King in the hearts of his people. That's where you'll find the presence of God. That's where you find the kingdom of God. And yes, even on Sunday morning here at church as well. And hopefully this isn't an unusual place to be a part of the kingdom of God, to celebrate the kingdom of God. You can discover a group of imperfect people who have come together to try to learn to do God's will, God's way, for God's sake. The great kingdom is what we will continue to study over the next few weeks, okay? God's kingdom is not owned by any culture. It's not owned by any one denomination, regardless of what some of these denominations may say. God's kingdom exists wherever Jesus, the King, has dominion in the hearts and minds and lives of his followers. It means that the kingdom of God can sneak in anywhere and it can operate in any environment. And that's good news right there. I want to invite you to join me over the next 4 weeks three more weeks after this, I think, as we do that. But, you know, the first step in walking and discovering these things is making the step of accepting Christ. And maybe you're here today and you've never done that. I don't know. And so what I want to do is have you all bow your heads and close your eyes, if you would, please. And if there's anyone here today who has never experienced receiving Jesus as the Lord of your life and you've never asked him to come into your heart, now's a great opportunity. Just lift your hand up and put it right back down and say, I've never received Jesus in my heart and I would like to do that today. Anybody at all? Okay. Then I'm going to assume that everyone here has accepted Christ. Maybe you're here today and you've allowed things to kind of distract you from where you should be in your walk with Jesus. And maybe you've even just intentionally turned your back and walked away from God. And this is a great opportunity this morning among God's people to get your life straight with him. Is there anyone here who would say, yeah, that describes me. I've accepted Christ, but I've allowed things to come in and kind of choke out my walk with him. Anyone at all? Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? You've allowed the cares of this world. You've allowed distractions. You've allowed busyness to get in between you and your relationship with the Lord. Okay, would you all stand with me, please? In just a second, we're going to pray. For those who raise their hands, we're going to pray. But I prepared a series of sermons several weeks ago to take you through the book of Proverbs, and I got early this week, whether it was Sunday night or Monday morning, I got in and I started looking over what I'd prepared, and it's like the Holy Spirit said, no. And I mean, I'm glad he did it early in the week rather than last night, you know, because I'm one that really likes to be prepared. I just felt him say no. And I don't know that it's forever, but it's at least for not right now. We weren't supposed to talk about Proverbs. And so we may come back to it either in a sermon series or a Bible study. I don't know yet. But I think what I learned from all of this is that it's so important that everything we do in all that we do day by day by day, that we have our ear tuned to the Holy Spirit. Now, I could have got up and I could have delivered that thing and that series through Proverbs, and you know, everything may have been fine, but in my heart I felt it wasn't supposed to be. You know, I appreciate when God does kind of that, because does that to me, because it shows me that I'm a part of his kingdom, and that as being a part of his kingdom, he instructs me in what I should do, where I should go, what I should say. And as long as we are open to that, he will guide you and he will instruct you. But you have to be open to it. You have to have your ear tuned to his voice. And too many times the cares of this world are choking out that voice. It's like it's nullifying the volume knob of being able to hear his voice. And so I just want to encourage you that in everything you do, every step you take, whether you're at work or school or play or whatever, that you listen intently to the voice of the Spirit, because he wants that kingdom of God to be growing in you so that you realize that you're walking in the kingdom of God. We are kingdom people, and we want to do God's will, God's way among God's people. That's what our desire is. That's what my desire is. I can't speak for you. I'd like to. I'd like to speak for you, you know. But that's not what I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to give you his word week by week. And my prayer, and anybody that knows me well knows that I pray, and the biggest fear I have is not communicating the word of God accurately. So, as long as I stay like that, I think we're all good. And I've been doing it for 40 years, so I don't know that I'd be seeking to do anything different. Let's pray. Just take the hand of someone right there near you, would you please? If you raised your hand today, would you just kind of gently squeeze the hand of the person that you're holding their hand so that they would know to pray with you as I close in prayer? Father God, I pray, God, that you would just be with us as we learn and as we develop our relationship of learning to walk in your kingdom, and learning what the kingdom of God is all about, and not just thinking that it's heaven, or that we won't know the kingdom of God till we get to heaven, or that when we come to church, oh yeah, that's the kingdom of God. Lord, that we would know that every single day we can be a part and we can walk in your kingdom. We can be a part of that godly kingdom that does good things for you, that follows your voice, that follows your lead. And so, God, I pray that each person who may have allowed their lives to be cooled off and walked away from you, Lord, I pray right now that you would just minister your grace to them once again. I pray that you would just fill them, Lord God, so much with your peace and with your joy. The kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. And so, God, as we experience that righteousness, peace, and joy, we can know that we are in the kingdom of God and we are walking in the kingdom of God. So God, help us to understand that, help us to know that, help us to realize that great blessing, that great benefit that you've given us of being part of your kingdom. Lord, I just pray that you'd be with us now, you guide us and direct us, Lord, in all we do. As we go from here, Lord, dismiss us from this place, but never from your presence. I pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Love on one another.